Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. I want to talk on some ways that might improve our marriage. I know that Donnie wanted to talk on some controversial subjects, so this might be a controversial subject, I don't know. But it's some ways that we might be able to improve ourselves in our marriage. And this is going to be my first speech in the church. So, Chris, if Thomas, if I start running out the door, why, you trip me, okay? But tonight, I want to tell a story. We all like stories, don't we? And it's a good one, and it goes along with the subject. There seemed to be an older man in the back of the church house, and this church was in Fairfield, Ohio, and it was told by the minister of that church, and it was relayed to me and my wife by our real estate agent. She heard the story and told it to us, and we didn't know at the time that she was actually in our church, and she was. But it seemed like this man had been praying for another wife, because his wife had died, and he had been praying for one. And there was a lady up front that went back to talk to him. She said, "I'm going to go back and talk to him." And she did. She said, "Hi, my name is Irene, and how are you doing tonight?" And this man got so shook up, he got so excited and panicked, and he hurried out of the church that night. He couldn't wait to get out of there. And he never came back that day. Until the next Sunday, he came back and walked up to Irene and said, "I want to apologize for what I did last Sunday." He said, "I got all shook up and excited and panicked, and that's what I did, and I want to apologize to you." And she said, "No problem." But he had been praying for a wife to come into his life, like his wife Irene was. And he said he told the wife, or the Irene, that he had been praying. No, he didn't tell her that he had been praying for her. He said, "The reason I got all shook up was because you said the name Irene. And my wife that passed, her name was Irene. And I've been praying for someone just like her." So he didn't tell her that he had been praying for her. But anyway, there's a lot of things that can happen if you pray for things. And God can make it happen to you. He can absolutely make it happen. And part of that, sort of on the same theme of the story, this kind of happened to me too, but not in the same way. Because my wife had died 4 years earlier of Alzheimer's disease, and I took care of her for 5 years. And 4 years later, after she passed, God sent a woman into my life, and shortly after that, Donnie married us, and it's been 4.5 years now, and of course you know Brenda, so that's what happened with me. So things can happen, and God can bring people into your lives that you don't think he will. But I want to talk on marriage tonight. And I want to say that I'm not a marriage counselor. and I don't play one on TV, but I have been married for 57 years now, and that's a long time. And there's some other people in here that's been married longer than that. Like Junior, she said she's been married around 61 years. And John Collier back there and his wife, they've been married almost 60 years. And but the Burns family back here, and Catherine and Carl, they've been married for a little over 60 years, I think, or close to that. And there's a lot of other people in here too, in between. And they can be good examples to the younger people in our church here. And if they will, these younger people will talk to them and get some advice from them, they will give them some good stories, I'm sure. So, when we do get married, I'm talking to the young people now, when we do get married and want to, we find somebody that might be suitable for us, we should look for somebody that's strong in God's faith. Look for somebody in the church if you can, or a good friend, a recommendation. Marry somebody that you think would be a good person and would be suitable for you. So tonight I want to show you what God says about marriage. And if you look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wives as to the weaker vessel." But to break off right there a minute, the wife is not, physically, she's not a weaker vessel. There's a lot of women out there that will work a man under the ground. And I've seen it done. They will work harder and they will work longer than a man will. They will give out. The man will give out before the women will. But God calls them the weaker vessel. And we are to honor that wife as the weaker vessel. And being heirs together of the grace of God, or the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Because we're to give honor to that wife, because we're going to be with Christ, and we're going to be heirs with Christ, with her. They're going to be with us in the next life. So tonight, I want to pick on the husbands first. In Colossians 3, verse 18 and 19, says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives." And it mentions love your wives lots of times in the Bible. And don't be bitter. Don't be bitter against them. Now, bitterness can be taken as being abusive. If a man is abusive to their wives, it's a terrible thing. And there's a lot of that going to happen. A lot of it is happening today. So that's a terrible thing to have to go through for the wife. So don't be abusive to them, and don't treat them with honor. Love your wife as a Christian loves the church. Now, we all know how Christ loved the church, because he died for it. So he must have loved it pretty good. The wife, or the Christ, loved the church so much that he gave his life for it on the cross. And I'm sure that there's not a man in here that would not protect his wife. And if he could, he would, if they see that the wife is having problems or is in trouble or in danger, the man will usually step up and he will put his own life on the line to protect his own wife. Now that's what God means by being obedient to the husband as the church, as he does the church. So husbands, three times in Ephesians 25. Ephesians verse 5 and verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And that's what I mean by Christ loving the church and being such a good example that we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And Ephesians 5:28 also, he says, wives, or husbands, love your church. And Ephesians 5:33, he said, love your wives as yourself. Now, if you love your wife as yourself, go to Ephesians. Husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, nor nourished and but he nourishes and cherishes it. So at last the Lord, just as the Lord loves the church. So God loves the church very much. And we are to love our wives. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. And on down there, it says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nonetheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So now it's time for the wives. We've got to pick on the wives a little bit too. So it says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, also as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body, therefore the church is subject to Christ, just as wives is to their own husbands in everything. So there are several verses in there. He was very outspoken when he come as far as speaking about their husband loving their wives, and the wives loving their husbands. In Ephesians 5:22, he said, "Wives submit to your husbands." And in 5:24, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And 5:33, wives, respect your husband or revere him as Christ did. Now, when you first start out as a young couple, Life is very glamorous, and Hollywood portrays it as such, as a very glamorous thing to do. But being married is not an easy thing to do. There's a lot of work to being married, and we've got to put up with a lot of extra things, and we've got to compromise a lot. So we find out that as we do research, that there's usually when a couple gets married, about one half of all marriages end in divorce, and that's not a happy statistic. And one reason that marriage lasts, there are several reasons, but one of the reasons is because if a marriage lasts, is people take them seriously. These words that for better or for worse, these are very serious words. And the people that's, the older people that's married a long time here, they have taken those words seriously. And they've taken them to heart. So number two on longevity, a young couple has got to be able to talk to one another. If you can't talk to one another and can't discuss it, then you're in trouble. You should say words that edify each other. Words like, I love you, or I care for you, you're mine, I love you. Words like that. And don't never say the word never. Because if you do, you can say, well, you never do that. You never clean house. You never wash the dishes properly. You never do this or you never do that. Never say that to a wife. And also, you should never say, you always do this or you always do that. You never do the right thing. You'd always do the wrong thing. You know, that's not something that you should ever say to your wife. You hurt her feelings. You treat her badly. And never say a few words like, you just don't understand. You don't understand me. Things are going on that you just don't pay no attention to. You don't understand. And never say, there are other words that you should never say disrespectful words to her. Never put her down. Never say bad things to her. And when you're in a discussion, like a lot of people's going to get into, don't withdraw. Don't withdraw from that conversation, but listen to her. Listen to what she says, and pay attention to what she says. So these are just some things that you can do to help your marriage along. And now, well, some of the first years of your marriage, on point number two here, the most important person in your life is your marriage, the person that you married, your wife, your husband. They're the most important in your life. Now, you take your family. When you first get married, a lot of times a wife will want to visit their parents more than the husband will want to, and sometimes that creates some hard feelings, you know, between the in-laws and the husband or whoever. And you got to be careful about that. You got to walk a thin line, because it's something that you can create a lot of hard feelings if you don't. The family can get mad and get angry. The husband, you say, you go visit your wife a lot longer, or your family a lot quicker than, or more often than you do my family. And he gets upset and angry. So you got to be careful with your in-laws. Now you got to be careful with your friends also. You can't visit your friends a lot. When you get married, you got to be loyal to your husband or your wife. And you don't go and visit friends that often unless one of you or you would go together or something like that, or you agree on something. But you got to be friends. You got to have friends, and you got to keep them at a distance sometimes, especially when you first get married. Maybe your wife wants to do something and you don't want to do it, so there's an argument comes up. And that's where the loyalty lies, because your loyalty is to each other. And that's why God said to leave your mother and father and cling to your wife. One other thing here that I would like to get into is holding hands. Now, I know I'm going a little bit over your time. I apologize for that, but I hope you don't mind. Holding hands. When you're a young couple, you like to hold hands. You can't keep your hands off of each other a lot of times. And that's a good thing. That's a great thing, I think. Because if you'll ask my wife, we're holding hands now. And you'll see us a lot of times coming in and out of here. We're holding hands. Because we care for each other that much, where we do. And when you got your hands in hers, there's a like a electricity, like an alternating current that goes through your body. See, when you're born, God gives you a spirit. And this spirit, it stays in your body. And it wants to move. It's an alternating spirit. And this spirit comes through your hands when you hold someone's hand. It makes you feel good, and it makes you feel like you belong to each other. And if you try it, you'll find that it makes a difference in the way you feel about each other. And I've also seen that the people that don't get hold hands or get touched a lot, like older people in nursing homes or something like that, they die early. So that's just something that I wanted to bring out. There's a couple other things that I wanted to bring out, but I'm not going to take time tonight. Maybe some other time I'll bring out some other points. But tonight, if you're not a Christian tonight, there are some things that you can do. You can hear the Word of God, and you can believe that Word. And you can also repent of those sins that you've repented. And in Matthew 10:32, you have a confession that Christ is the Son of God. And that when you do that, you can become baptized. And the baptism in Acts 2:38 says that after the confession, you're baptized and you can become part of God's church. So if you're tonight and you have some problems and you want to be baptized and join with God's church, then come forward and we'll pray with you and forward for you.